Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. On the question pertaining to education, as a general point of information, I'd like to say that our country was one of the last countries to return to in-person education because we had some of the most restrictive measures in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. On this point, it's worth noting that the measures adopted since then have been focused on tailoring the reality of the education system to the post-pandemic student population. We've presented the draft bill on schooling, which bears in mind the reality of sexual orientation and gender identity and any discrimination within the educational community. Currently, this is on its way to the Senate. It was approved in the first instance and it's now going through the higher body. On return, we had some instances of gender-based conflict after 3 years of not seeing each other. And we had some national days on non-sexist education, which covered 94% of the public education institutions in the country. And the second day, we had around 450,000 participants. Half of them were girls, boys and adolescents. The rest were parents and those working within the education system. Over the third day, it was the turn of local governments and they shared best practices to try to apprise themselves of all the complexities that had been noted in the initial days. The superintendent that governs the education system also gave a decree on the principles of non-discrimination and equal treatment within the education system. And there's been an amendment for admission to further education. So there's been a change in the number of points required to enter and allows for a more a broader appreciation or assessment of their school career. So we've moved from 20% of women with the appropriate number of points, looking at women who instead had distinctions in their overall school pathway. We're seeing updates also in textbooks to ensure that in these textbooks there is no kind of leftover of discrimination.
We need to recognise that in terms of the results of standardised education, the gaps have worsened as a consequence of the pandemic, as the experts have rightly said, both in terms of discrimination against girls and in their results in maths, and as well as some language delay as well. So there's been an annual convening of research projects which look to address the specific challenges that have come about, and the Chilean government is putting in place measures to be able to take a pathway that would help the children catch up because of the time that was lost during the pandemic, so as to be able to move forward in terms of closing these gaps. On non-sexist education, the Congress approved a particular article within the Comprehensive Law Against Gender-Based Violence as a general principle, which stipulates that the Ministry of Education should instruct the education system to eradicate bias in education. This provision was challenged before the Constitutional Court because in a ruling they reversed previous rulings regarding this. For example, this was also the law on childhood safeguards that was also challenged. But this time there was debate that happened, and it was established that a constitutional principle of our country includes the freedom to teach, freedom of teaching, and the preference of the parents vis-a-vis the constitution. However, these aren't limiting factors when it comes to the principle of non-discrimination. The parents and educational establishments are not able, they cannot educate children in a way that is biased. This is not in line with the constitution. So since June we've been drafting the subsequent regulations, and they need to be approved by the General Comptroller of the Republic, and we do believe that together with the Ministry of Education, we'll see the adoption of this operational regulation and the approval of this law on school coexistence, which will help us to have a harmonised strategy, a joint strategy of work within the educational community, over and above this gap diminishing, so that we can move forward harmoniously. The government of Chile has raised the concern within the country about the fact that post-pandemic our young people were struggling, and for the first time in many years we've highlighted that young people and adolescents, they're seeing an increase in violence as a form of conflict resolution, not only in life in general but also within couples. So this year we've paid particular attention to this. It's a subject of concern for our ministry this year, No to Violence. This campaign is to be officially launched on the 25th of November. Lastly, on sex education, and regarding the two constitutional principles, namely freedom of teaching, which covers an extensive framework and means that the different education providers within the system, over and above the public sector, also have responsibilities, and it's also incumbent upon parents. Parents are able to challenge the content. There are currently 7 possible programs for sex education which are delivered by the Ministry of Education, and schools can choose which they want. There's been a study on this by the Ministry of Women. Over 80% of adults considered that the sex education was insufficient, the sex education that they received. It was either insufficient or very poor. That is why, despite the fact that there is growing opposition to be able to apply instruments of this type in the educational system, the executive is going to be sponsoring a legislative bill which seeks to introduce sex education, prevention of sex abuse, sexual abuse and child sex abuse as a priority. Lastly, on education, particularly for persons with disabilities, I'd like to give the floor to Daniela Lopez from the Ministry of Social Development.